The reading is taken from Galatians 5, verses 13 to 21. It's on page 1172 of the Church Bibles. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, good evening. It's good to see you. Welcome. Do we have any guests here? Who's a guest? If you're here for the first time, second time, or guest, can you raise your hand for me? Great. Welcome. Great. It's good to have you here this evening. My name's Chris. I'm part of the team here at Christchurch and have been for a while. And it's fantastic to be here. We love what God's doing here. We're excited about everything he's doing, and hopefully you're going to connect into some of that this evening as well, and have done already. So if you haven't been around for the last few weeks, you won't know that we are in a little mini three-week series that I've been given to do, which is brilliant. Well, brilliant for me. It might be brilliant for you. You have to wait and see. And I really felt like the Lord just put the word freedom on my heart. And so we're taking 3 weeks just to journey through Galatians chapter 5. And so we're spending 3 weeks just in that one chapter. And 2 weeks ago, we started that series. And I just wanted to just do a few minute recap just for those people who weren't there. Just give me a hand if you weren't there 2 weeks ago. If you weren't here 2 weeks ago, fantastic. This is going to be really valuable for you. A couple of weeks ago, we started this series and opened up right at the beginning of the chapter, and just talked about that idea of freedom and the idea that it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. That meaning that in Christ, your default is freedom. In Christ, your default setting is that you are free. And it's ourselves, we bind ourselves back up again. We chain ourselves back up again. The default setting in Christ is freedom. It is for Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. You are free. The title of that message 2 weeks ago was, "You Were Running." You were running. There's a verse in this chapter, in verse 7, Paul writes, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth?" You were running a good race. And we focused just for a while on that phrase, "you were running." And I imagine there were some people in the room who could identify with that concept of, there has been a point in my life where I was really running that race with God. I was running well. I was in a good rhythm. The race was going great. I was running. And something cut in on my race. Something came and disrupted my rhythm and cut right into the middle of my race. And I'm now not running at the same pace that I once was. And sometimes when that happens, we get used to a new normal relationship with God, a new level of normal or a new pace in our race, which is less than what God designed us for. And because over a period of time, we've just got cut in on and cut in on and cut in on and sidetracked in our race, we just get used to a slower pace. Some of us, we're not even running anymore. Some of us haven't even got our trainers on. Sometimes we get used to a new level of normal. And 2 weeks ago, was really about identifying some of those people and saying, hey, your default in Christ is freedom. And if you've been cut in on, it's time to get your trainers laced back up again, and it's time to get back on the track, and it's time to start running. You've got used to a level that is less than what God designed you for, and it's time to start running again. You were running. This week, we're going to move into a second section of the passage. And just while I just get myself set up, just say hi to someone next to you. And I want you to ask them this question. Would you rather be too hot or too cold? Go. I'd love some more tea.
Is this the setup you normally like?
Okay, let's bring it in. let's have a quick show of hands. Who's too hot? Who would rather be too hot? Yeah, what? Who would rather be too cold? Yeah, I'm with you. I'd rather be much too cold. Yeah, fantastic. There'll be a reason for that question. That'll come back up later. The title for this message is loving plus leading equals living. Loving plus leading equals living. Okay? Anyone in the room ever feel like your life is a bit messy? I got some hands, that's good. Some hands. Good day, good one day, bad the next. Good relationship one day, up, not so good the next. Good day at work one day and not so good a day the next. Life can be a bit messy. I feel like my life can get pretty messy sometimes. And I recently told a story to our Tuesday community, which I wanted to share here because it ties into something I feel like I want to say in a bit. As a dad, you get into all sorts of messes with kids. Kids make messes. If you're a parent, you know what that means. If you've been a child, you will maybe remember some of the messes that you made. There's a particular area of parenting that we have just been through, and we are thankfully on the other side of, mainly, which is potty training. Yeah. We recently went through potty training with our youngest, Rafi, and it's an interesting experience doing potty training because the timing is essential. And I say that literally in the sense that getting the timing right moment to moment is really important. But getting the timing right of when you decide to remove the nappies is really important. Now, you have to remember that these children have never known anything else except nappies. And it's weird to suddenly remove that thing from underneath them and expect them to go to the toilet like we do. There was this one moment recently where the girls were in the bath and everything was going really well. Helena was, actually, I don't even know where Helena was. I was in there. I was trooping away. I was doing a good job. The girls were playing, splashing away. It was a lovely time. And then Rafi stands up in the bath and says, "Daddy, I'm sick, I'm sick." Which means, in her language, "I need a poo." Okay, she doesn't quite get that thing yet, but she's identifying that she needs something. Her tummy feels a bit funny, she needs a toilet. So, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm sick, I'm sick." Jessica, who's our five-year-old, knows exactly what that means. Now, Jessica, I mean, everyone hates mess in the bath. I'm going to say poo, is that all right? Yeah, everyone hates poo in the bath, but Jessica really hates poo in the bath. She freaks out at poo in the bath. So Rafi says, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm sick, I'm sick." Jessica is literally like on the furthest end of the opposite end of the bath. She's like crawling up the sides, and she's got like trying to get her legs on each side to try and get her feet out of the bath. "Daddy, help! Get me out! Get me out!" Rafi's like, "I'm sick, I'm sick," and I'm like, "Where's Helena?" So then Rafi sits down and she says, "I'm fine." Okay. So Rafi's now fine. They get on with playing and they're playing for a couple of minutes. And if I'd have been smarter, if I'd have been a better dad, I would have known that the first time she said it was the real deal. And then we get to a couple of minutes later, and she stands up and she says, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm sick, I'm sick." Except this time it's kind of already happened. And in the bath, Jessica's like, "Daddy, Daddy, there's poo in the bath, get me out, get me out." And Rafi's like, "I'm sick, I'm sick." And she's really messy. And so I've got to like lift Rafi out of the bath, soaking wet, dripping everywhere, and try and get on the toilet, and try and deal with Jess, who is she's in a state because there's stuff everywhere. And in that moment, the Lord decides to speak something into my head. I love the way he does that. Even in those moments. And I hear him drop something into my head and into my heart, and I hear him say this phrase. He says this: "Sometimes the signs of growth and development are messy. Sometimes the signs of growth and development are messy." Rafi is growing and developing. She didn't quite know how to do the thing properly yet, but she was just about identifying the fact that she needed the toilet. She was growing and she was developing. Sometimes the signs of growth and development are messy. Sometimes in our lives, the signs of growth and the signs of development are messy. You know, living in freedom sometimes can feel messy. In this chapter alone, we have a number of examples where Paul contrasts a couple of different things. Right at the beginning, we've got this whole concept of law versus grace. And we move on into this part of the chapter, and he begins to talk about the spirit and the flesh. And we suddenly are put in this position as believers where we feel like sometimes we're living in two zones. And we talked about that 2 weeks ago, that living in law and living in grace doesn't work. The two are incompatible. Except that we so often find ourselves trying to live in both zones. But it doesn't work that way. But as we try and wrestle with the fact that God has called us to be free, and he's called us to accept that incredible, radical grace that he gives us, we're also battling with desires of the flesh, and we're also battling with law-based activity, rules, the way in which we try and earn our salvation and our faith back from God. Sometimes living in freedom is really messy. So if you're in a mess this evening, and some of you might be, if you feel like you're in a mess, if you feel like your life is in a mess, if you feel like your relationship with God is in a mess, if you feel like you are living in two places at once and it feels messy, don't always necessarily go to the negative perspective first. We are so liable to go to the negative perspective first. So all those things that we experience in trying to work out our freedom, we go to all the shoulds and the shouldn'ts and the must nots, which is law and rules. And we go immediately to the negative perspective. I want to tell you, if you feel like you're in a mess this evening, sometimes the signs of growth and development are messy. Maybe some of your mess is a part of your development. Maybe some of your mess is a part of your discipleship. Maybe some of your mess is just a part of your growth in becoming more like Jesus. So if you feel like you're in a mess this evening, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. Okay. Everyone all right? Yeah, you look quite serious tonight. Okay, let's talk about loving. The title, remember, loving plus leading equals living. Verse 13, if you've got a Bible, I encourage you to turn to it. Verse 13 says this. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Amazing. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. 2 weeks ago, we started at verse 1 of chapter 5. It said, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. And here at the beginning of the section this week, Paul writes very directly again that you were called to be free. Freedom is at the heart of this chapter. Freedom is the heart of God's message for us and for our relationship with him. Let's just quickly say to each other and to ourselves, living in grace and freedom in the kingdom is not just an invitation to abandon morality, to just do whatever you want and live however you want. It is an invitation to love. It's an invitation because this talks about the kind of love, the agape love, the choice love. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. The kind of love that always sees the good in other people. The kind of love that always loves the distance without asking for a return. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. The love that dictates your choice. That's important. I want to take a moment to highlight the importance of your choice. Because, and we've seen it already in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It implies choice. I want to say to you this evening, and really say this as clearly as I possibly can, each one of you is a powerful person with a powerful will and powerful choices to make. So often in our lives, we throw off the responsibility of our choices onto other people. And we operate in such a way that says, I live my life because this other person determined this path for me or this choice for me. It was not in my control. It had nothing to do with me. I'm doing this just because it is the way it is. Here, in this chapter, Paul clearly gives us choice. He's writing about choice. He says that you were called to be free. Don't use your freedom for this. Instead, use it for this. Don't use your freedom to indulge the fleshy desires that you have. Use it to serve one another humbly in love. Don't use it for this. Use it for this. It's two choices. You could choose to use your freedom in this way, or you can choose to use your freedom in this way. Every single moment of every single day, we have choices and decisions that we make, some that we make really knowingly and others that we don't make so knowingly. As powerful people with powerful choices, it's our responsibility to take ownership of the way that we live our lives. Serve one another humbly in love is the choice love. Choose to love. Choose to serve one another humbly in love. Choose it. Choose love. Choose love. Choose it. Don't just let it happen to you when you feel like it. Choose it. Because you can use your freedom for this, or you can use it for this. Choose love. So often, the lack of freedom that we experience in our lives, and I want to read this one because I enjoyed it when I wrote it. So often, the lack of freedom we experience in our lives is ultimately revealing that the love deficit comes from within us. Because verse 14 goes on to say, for the entire law, all this stuff that Paul's been writing about in Galatians, the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. And he goes on to say in verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. The entire law is fulfilled by this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll read it again. So often the lack of freedom that we experience in our lives is ultimately revealing that the love deficit comes from within us. It's the as yourself bit that gets ignored. Often. Which means that the end of that sentence, love your neighbor as ... can become anything. Love your neighbor as you were loved by your parents. Love your neighbor as you were loved by your friends at school. Love your neighbor as you were loved by your spouse. It can become so dictated by the options and the choices of other people. You're a powerful person with powerful choices. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The as yourself bit gets ignored so often. So I'm walking down the street with Jessica a couple of years ago. And I'm taking her to preschool. It's the morning. We're having a lovely walk. It's really nice. And we're talking about what happened the night before. And what happened the night before, which is what usually happens at nighttime in our house, Jessica creeps into our bed, roughly around 11 or 12 o'clock at night. What usually happens is that when she creeps in, and she's now in such a habit, she literally sleepwalks through. Honestly, if you see her, it's so funny watching her do it, because she just is like in autopilot, and she's basically asleep doing it. She opens all the doors and closes them, and she walks around pretty much asleep, and she cuddles in with Helena, mostly, always. Except that night, she had come in and cuddled next to me, which for me is like the dream, because I love that. And we were talking about the fact that she'd come and cuddled next to me that night, and I said, so why do you think you did that? And she said, Daddy, I love you, which is nice, really nice. And she says, and I love Mummy, and I love Rafi, and I love myself. I was like, oh, that's cool. I didn't even teach her that. She just loves herself. That's amazing. And so we keep walking for a bit. And then she says, turns to me and she says, Daddy, do you love yourself? And I'm like, in that moment, I feel like I got floored by my 3.5-year-old. Daddy, do you love yourself? That'd be a question that you might want to ask yourself tonight. Do you love yourself? Because the way that you love yourself will determine how you love the people around you. So if you experience the biting and devouring and the destruction that Paul writes about in verse 15, it's probably more likely a commentary on the way that you love yourself rather than the way that you're loving people. Probably. The way that you love yourself will determine the way in which you go about loving the people around you. Both are your choice. The way you choose to love yourself and the way that you choose to love the people around you. It's your choice. God has designed for you a realm of significance and an impenetrable grace that you can walk into every single moment of every single day, if you want. The way that you love yourself will determine how you love the people around you. Okay. Loving plus leading equals living. Number two, leading. Verse 16. I'm going to read this in the Amplified Translation. Go with me. Verse 16. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and his precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you, as believers, do not always do what is good, do whatever good things you want to do. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. I asked you at the beginning of the session whether you prefer to be too hot or too cold. I asked you because I discovered something interesting as I was reading about this passage and some of the words, and I like to read about words sometimes. And in verse 16 and 17, it talks about this word desire. In the NIV, it says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit. Desire. Also like passion, you know, passions and desires. This word is coming from a Greek word where we would get that word thermos or thermostat. That's where we're getting that word from, passion and desire. The same word that relates to thermostat. It's like a temperature control, like a regulation of temperature. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Have anyone ever seen The American Office? You seen that episode? There's an episode of The American Office where they're in the office and one of the workers gets in early to set the thermostat at exactly the temperature they love. And then throughout the day, all these other colleagues come along and just nudge it a little bit one way and a little bit the other, just to get the temperature that they love. And they spend the whole day just adjusting the thermostat by a couple of degrees just to get the temperature exactly to how they like it. Sometimes, when we're living in two worlds and we feel the mess of living in both grace and law, and we find ourselves living in like spirit and flesh, sometimes we find ourselves with a hand on the thermostat a lot of the time. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that very often in the fleshy passions and the fleshy desires that we have, we spend so much time regulating what is too hot, too cold. Sometimes our passions rile up so much to a place of heat, and we've got our finger on the thermostat, and we're going, okay, I can't handle this, and we're trying to turn it down and desperately trying to control the temperature of the passion and the desire. And we spend all our time with our hand on the thermostat, desperately trying to control the temperature. And we walk about our life living in this way as if we have all the control, and as if we're living on our own terms. Sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too cold. When it feels too hot, I'm just going to do whatever I can to turn that thing down. You know, living with your hand on the thermostat is really tiring. It's a very tiring way to live. Desperately trying to put in place all these controls and regulations to negate your passions and your desires that you don't like. It's a really tiring way to live, with your hand on the thermostat. Walking by the Spirit offers a really different solution. Because Paul writes, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." As in, you won't do it. As in, if your relationship with God and your relationship with the Spirit is at such a place, and you're habitually walking, that's what the Amplified talks about, it's that habitual walking with the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. It's not going to happen. And I know sometimes, and particularly as preachers and teachers and all that kind of stuff, we try and give you both sides sometimes and say, well, this is really clear. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not. And so the question, loving plus leading equals living. Number two, who's leading you? Number two, who's leading you? But if you are led by the Spirit, verse 18, you are not under the law. If you are led by the Spirit, you can take your hand off the regulator. Because it's the law that places the rules and the regulations around your behavior. So if you're led by the Spirit, you can take your hand off the thermostat. And you can allow the Holy Spirit to work with your heart and the convictions that are in your heart. Because I think if most of us are honest, we know. We know when our desires and our passions are in a place of the flesh and when they're right in God. We know. Because the Holy Spirit's all about convicting the stuff. So tonight, I'm gonna finish. If you feel like you live in such a way where you feel like you have to control so many elements of your life because you live in that tension of, I desperately want to be led by the Spirit, but I find myself over here all the time. And the way in which you've dealt with that is that you've placed so many controls in your life. Tonight, I want to ask that you would just engage with the Holy Spirit in a way, and ask him to help you take your hand off the regulator and to allow him to do the work in your heart of doing the conviction and doing the stirring. It's what he wants to do. Loving plus leading equals living. The way in which we love ourselves and the way in which we love those around us, the choices that we make towards love and the choices that we make towards who and what leads us will ultimately determine how we're living. And that equation works both ways. If you choose to love your fleshy passions and desires, and you choose to live by the regulations and the rules and the law as opposed to the grace that God has given for you, and if you choose to live in that place as opposed to being guided and led by the Spirit, that equation works too. If you choose grace and freedom, and if you choose life by the Spirit, the equation still works. It will determine how you're living. Loving plus leading equals living. Who you love, how you love, and who you allow to lead you will ultimately determine how you live your life. God has designed you for freedom. And tonight's another opportunity to step into that. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. I went just a tiny bit longer than I'd intended to. I hope that's okay. I just wanted to get a couple of those things across. Clearly. I hope it's clear. I want us to pray for people now. You know, we talked about this whole thing right at the beginning. Jill brought this word of encounter, this being a space for encounter. When we were praying beforehand, I just felt so stirred to pray that this is a space that is dedicated to encountering God. That's what it's all about. We're here. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. And it can happen at any point in the gathering. You know, it could have happened already, and that's great. And we just want to give more opportunities for that to happen. We want to pray for people. We believe that as we pray for people and as we minister with people and as we get to know people and walk with people, God begins to do work and he begins to stir the things that need dealing with. Now, there may have been occasions this evening where I mentioned a few things, and actually for you, that's really, it's right, it's bang on, it's true for you. And we want to pray for you. I want to just name a couple of those specifically. I think the thing about loving yourself is obviously a big one. I want to pray for anyone tonight who struggles to love yourself. And I want to pray that would be a starting place for you on this journey to freedom. Because so many of us are bound up in the place of self-love. And the other one is around that sense of dealing with the conflict of fleshy desires and passions. And you feel like you've got so many controls in place, but you're just tired of dealing with all of that stuff. And you've put all this stuff in place, and it's time just to let go of the thermostat. I want to pray for you as well. So what I want to do first of all is invite the ministry team to come. And if you could just come right now, that would be really good. And you know who you are. Don't be slow to come, unless you want to be prayed for yourself.